Our scripture reading as we continue our series on the Epistle of John is 1 John chapter 1. As I said last week, the good thing about series is you have repetition, and through repetition we remember. So we read again 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 10, and then I will do the second part of the sermon that I had last week, as we focused on verse 5. What was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So verse 5, and this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, I will summarize again what we have learned so far from the Apostle John's teaching. The gospel was the first thing that we established and saw very clearly in this passage, is that refreshing truth that the gospel that you and I believe is from God. It is not a man-made philosophy or ideology. And it was not, if it was not for the gospel, we also have seen that we would never have had fellowship with the living God or with one another. I don't think we can imagine a life like that. Remember, we said how wonderful it is to think that the gospel that was preached also in the Old Testament times and in the New Testament is still the same gospel that is preached today. And the reason is obvious, because it is the same God, it is the same Savior, Jesus Christ, that was also promised in the Old Testament times. It's the same Holy Spirit. Yes, it is exactly the same truth. John told us also what the purpose is of this gospel that was brought to us. The purpose of that gospel was to bring us into the fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. And then he continued us to tell us who the Father is. So he mentioned the fellowship, but then he continued to tell us who the Father is. And Apostle John clearly wants his readers to know the God whose fellowship they enjoy. And that is important for us too. It is important that you and I know who God is. Why? John says in John chapter 17 that this is eternal life, that we know God. So if you are listening this morning, even here, present here, or even over television, and you don't know God, the God of the Bible, it is important that we hear again this morning that God wants us to know him. That is the God that we have. We do not worship a God who is unknown to his people. We have a God that has revealed himself to us, who wants to be known because he has known us by name. And he made it possible for us, as he tells us in the Bible, we've seen who he is. And when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you may enter into this wonderful eternal fellowship with God the Father. A fellowship that we've seen last week that was first broken because of sin. Sin that caused separation between God and us. And if that relationship is not restored, then we would live in eternal misery under the wrath of God. But by God's grace, He restored the broken relationship by sending His own Son, His beloved Son, to this world to atone for our sins. Those sins that caused that separation. And in order to reunite us with God the Father again. That is the promise for each and every one who believes in Jesus Christ. But the question now is, do we know who He is? So last week I said in order to get an answer to this question, we need to focus on four things, which I called God debated, God prioritized, God revealed, and God and I. And I focused on the first two, and I will quickly just summarize that also for the sake of those who are not here. Under God debated, we said there is so many opinions these days about God, appalling opinions on who He is. And all of these speculations exist because people don't know the Word of God. And so they create for themselves a God which is according to their own fancies and needs. It seems like this ignorance about who God is continue to exist and to grow even in the church. And we said that is a real problem. Because in the church, we need to know our God. We need to know who is the one who loved us first so that we also will love Him. We also saw very clearly that we sometimes point the fingers at the world. We think that the state of the world is terrible. But we've seen that the state of the nation often depends on the state of the church. And how could the church truly love God if she does not know Him? Let alone how could the church defend the truth if we don't know Him? If we don't know the wonderful works that God has done for us and is still doing in our midst? How could we love the truth if we don't know it? And then you remember we page to the Old Testament, and we saw that even Hosea said, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." Already then, that was a problem. And the same prophet says, "So let us know, let us press on to know the Lord." That is our calling. That's what we are doing when we listen to God's Word. God is revealing Himself to us so that you and I could get to know Him better and better. But in this process, we've also seen it's important that we prioritize our own lives. Where does God fit in this whole process? Because so often we say we're so busy, we cannot read the Scriptures, and we cannot go to church, and we cannot do this. It's because our priorities stink. Just as John put the Lord first in everything, we were also challenged with, where is God in our lives? You remember, I said that twice of the sermon before last week and last week. The church should never try to find a place for God in our lives. We should know our place before God. We should know how dependent we are of Him for our existence. And if we do, He will always be first in our lives. His Word will always guide our steps, whether it be in worship, whether it be in our daily lives, whether it be in our labors in the church and for the church people, whether outside in the community. Yes, in all things, He will direct our steps. In all things, we will put Him first instead of giving Him the leftovers of our time, of our money, of our energy, and of our worship. How could it be different? When He sent His Son to this world, we saw so clearly it was not evidence of leftover grace. No, it was grace in abundance. To set us free. to set us free from this world of slavery of our time and slavery of our jobs and slavery of our money. He set us free in order to first seek the kingdom of God while acknowledging that God knows what we need and that He will always take care of us. He set us free from our worldly view, even of God, that we could know Him and have fellowship with Him as the God who indeed revealed Himself to us in the Bible. You see, we have so much. That was our conclusion last week, to be thankful for. So now, how is God revealed to us in this passage? John says, God is light. First thing that strikes me about John's approach is that he's saying, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you. We touched on that, but once again, John proclaims it. John is not saying, listen, I think God is this or that, or God might be this or that, or we might conclude that God is this or that. No, John tells us what he knows about God, what was revealed to him by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about God, what he has seen in Jesus Christ, because Jesus has said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. So he was not speculating. He tells us what was revealed. The second thing that strikes me is that when John calls God light, he chose a very specific expression to tell us who God is. And sometimes it confuses people. Because some would say, well, he's referring to truth or knowledge or love. It might be. But the legitimate question to ask is, why is John not saying God is mercy, for instance, or God is almighty? Because John wanted to describe something of God's nature, something of God's being. That's what he wanted to describe to us. And he does it in such a way that we, with our limited minds and with our limited insight, could understand something about who God is. And he's actually doing that three times in his letter. Here he says God is light in verse 5, and then he says God is spirit in chapter 4, verse 8. And also in 4, verse 8, he says God is love. So three statements. God is light, God is spirit, God is love. And now when John chooses light, he uses this expression for a specific reason. And the reason is because based upon what the Bible also tells us with the relationship between light and holiness is, he wants to show us the holiness of God. If God is light, he says, and there is no darkness in him, it means that God is holy, that God is pure. He is completely without any darkness. Once again, how blessed are we to have such a God? Think about it. If we had a God who were just a little bit like us, he was not a God. He could not have been a God. Even if he was just a little or even much better than we were, he still could not be a God. If God had any flaws, could he be the God of the Bible? Could he be God, the Almighty, the Holy One? If he had any sins, could we worship him? If he was affected by sin, how could he be eternal? If the things that happen are connected to him in any way, as if he is the source of sin, could he be God? No, we have seen this morning, even in Shorter Catechism that we confessed, he is not the source of sin in no way. So God's word reveals him to us as completely different. The ganz andere, the better and the higher and the holier than we could ever think to be. Without God being holy, we cannot understand anything else about God. That's why it's so important for us. And that's why John starts with this. And if you see when he takes us eventually through our own sinful state and how you and I need to deal with our sins, this will become clearer to us every time as we study. So I say it again. Without God being the Holy One, you and I cannot understand anything else about God. We will not be able to understand His love for us. We will not be able to understand our sin. We will not be able to understand why you and I need salvation and why Jesus had to die on a cross in order to accomplish our salvation. We will just not be able to grasp that. We can only take hold of this if we know that our God is a perfectly pure and holy God. And that is how He's pictured to us right through the Scriptures. When Isaiah was called as a prophet, he had this vision in which he saw, and I quote, "The Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." When Moses received the commandments of God from Mount Sinai, the people had to purify themselves, and no one was even allowed, think about it, to touch the mountain, lest he die, because of God's holiness. And that same Moses desired to see the Lord. He had seen Him at work. He desired even more. I guess you and I would have done the same in our curiosity about God. Moses wanted to see more of this wonderful God who spoke with him not only from the mountain, but also in the burning bush, and called Him unto Himself and did all these great and miraculous things. And thus he asked God. He asked God to show His face. And this is what the Lord answered him. I quote again. And He said, "I Myself will make all My goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But He said, You cannot see My face, for no man can see Me and live." Then the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by Me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about while My glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with My hand until I pass by. And then I will take My hand away, and you shall see My back, but My face shall not be seen." The Lord really said to Moses there, you could see My hindquarters, My back. That Moses could see, but not His face. And when Moses returned, after that happened, what happened? There was something different to him. His face was shining. The people were terrified, and they shrank away from him, and they could not look at him. So Moses put a veil over his face that the people could approach him, because God's holiness radiated upon Moses. It reflected God's glory, His holiness. But how could we come in the presence of such a God? If the sight of the back of God terrifies people, how could anyone stand to gaze directly into His holy face? The only one who was able to reflect God Himself was Jesus Christ. Paul therefore said, "And He is the image of the invisible God." It's only through Jesus Christ that we could approach Him. Which brings me to our last point. We don't have to debate who God is, remember? God hath not left us in the dark about his identity. He has sent his own Son to come and reveal himself to us through the words he spoke, but also through the things that he did and just through whom he was. So take time this week to consider whether you are still very thankful for being so blessed that you may know the Lord, that you don't have to guess, that God has renewed your heart through his Holy Spirit to know you, and that you may know him through Jesus Christ, the perfect image of God. Take time to look at your own priorities in life. And that's what the last point is about. God and I said. God and you. Take time. Look at your own priorities. Ask yourself, what place do God and his word take in your life and your family's life? If God is God truly first priority in everything, whether it be in your worship, in your labor, in your relaxation, in your time spending, in your money spending, and if not, repent. Come back to the Lord. Bring him back to the center of your life. But the third thing you need to reflect on is to take time to reflect on the nature of the God you serve. How could we forget who this God is, who brought us into his fellowship? We've seen God's holiness is so central to the teachings in the Bible that we even in Luke 1:49 read about God. It says, holy is his name. God's name is who he is. And thus his name is holy because he is holy. If you and I look at the world around us, we must acknowledge that there is little to no respect for God anymore. What do we see and hear around us? The cussing and the mockery of his name. That is the disrespect they show. I don't know if you've experienced it, even with the media, sometimes you get hooked on a television program and it's really nice. And you look through, watch through the first and the second episode, and then suddenly everything changes. And God's name is just used right and left. What's the choices that we make then? How holy is his name for you? But that brings me to the question, is there enough respect for God in his church? It's understandable that the world have no respect for him. That's according to their nature. That's according to their sinful nature. But the question is, do you and I realize when we come in his presence, that you and I live each day in his presence as the Holy God? Do you and I realize that we come here on a Sunday morning individually, but also corporately as his people? And that we come in the presence of the Holy God who meet with his people today. Yes, he is our Father for Jesus' sake, but that doesn't take away of his holiness. He is still the Holy God. Does it reflect in the way that we prepare ourselves to come in his presence? Does it reflect in the way that we come and worship him? Does it reflect in our body and heart and soul, and the way we focus on the living God? If I sometimes look at some of these preachers that are screaming and jumping up and down before an audience of thousands, I wonder sometimes if they grasp something of the holiness of God. Because the holiness of God needs to be visible also in the truth that we preach. So take time to examine yourself and the view you have about God. Make sure that you ask yourself whether the world has started changing your view about Him. Perhaps you realize with a shock this morning that you have indeed started to think earthly about God, almost like as if He is our equal. So let us stop then, because He is not. John says He is the Holy God, He is the light, and there is no darkness in Him. Just take time to consider whether you are still attracted by God's holiness. Perhaps you have stopped thinking it is something overrated or overemphasized. I do hope that's not the case. I hope you would realize how wonderful it is to have a God who stands far above us, far above the sin, far above the corruption and the sadness of this world, and that He is the only one who provides the solution for all of this in our midst, for all the sin, for all the sadness in this world. Because if He did not provide the solutions amidst of this world, we would not be able to have a relationship with Him. If He did not send His own Son to be the Holy One and to be the one in whom there is no darkness, we would have had no hope, and we would have been lost forever, like the rest of it. But see, He sent Him as we enter a season of celebrating that. Jesus came as the light of the world, the perfect light. And only in Him there is no darkness in us. Then we have hope for fellowship with God our Father in eternity. Yes, go take time to be holy. Why? Because that is what God wants for us too. I've asked you if you overemphasize the whole, perhaps you have thought about God that His holiness is overemphasized. And I tell you, if that is what we think, then it will reflect also in our own lives that we are lesser and lesser holy. Remember, take time to be holy, as the hymn says. Because God is holy, so you must be holy too. Make sure that you know this God of the Bible. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Father, You are so good to us, and we are so blessed as Your people. And we praise You for Your amazing work that You have done in order for us to know You. But above all, Lord, to glorify Yourself in this world. And how do we not long for that day, Lord, when You will send Your Son to appear, and the whole world will tremble, and every knee will bow before You, knowing that You are the true God of the Bible. Oh Lord, we are looking forward to that day. But as we are waiting, let us take time to be holy, as You are holy. Continue to work in us Your Holy Spirit, and use the means of grace to build us up, to be the instruments that You want us to be in this world, to be the light of this world. In Jesus' name, amen.